must be answered, where there are questions which can't be answered because either there's a process underway to deal with them and or it's market sensitive for now, then they must explain those things, right? So can we hand over? But before I do, I want to raise something else about the CEO, which I meant to say. You see, although Kosatu, Comrade DM, and Fedusa have been very angry and have been threatening marches, as you know, and on the eve of a possible allocation of money to SAA, they were really, even SAFTU was up in arms, right? That's what prompted our meetings late last year. It's interesting that up till now, while they're very angry, they've never said that I know of in the public domain, nor have they found me. Remember, I speak a lot to one of the federations, obviously, and their representative, and I meet the officials, as you know, in another capacity, right? They've never said to me that Mr. Machila himself is guilty of anything. It's interesting, right? Though they criticize a lot of possibilities of funding the SOEs. So I'm just saying that, you know, Kosatu is here. You mustn't expect us to take responsibility fully and wholly, apart from the DM, to defend your members' interests. If you have any evidence of corruption by anybody or any wrongdoing, it's your job to raise it via the GEPF and PIC. I'm just saying that's interesting. Having said that, can we hand over to you? Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Chair. I would request that, with your indulgence, that before I make my final remarks, that we allow colleagues to respond, in my view, what we consider straightforward questions, which I would plead that they should assist us to do our work successfully with regard to the process. Doc?
Chairperson, I think Honourable Member dealt with the issue of confidential information and our intellectual property being made public in a way, and we can relate to that, but we've done our best to make sure that we provide clear answers without compromising our intellectual property. So we still think we are protected in that regard. But insofar as reputational risk is concerned, we have said that there's a committee, SEC, that looks at those issues. Of course, we as management are the initiators of such. If we see a reputational, you know, risk issue in any deal, we do make recommendation, initial investigation and recommendations to the appropriate committee to guide us on that. But at the same time, and I think this statement has been made by Honorable Shibambo, that transformation can be very painful. We believe that we are taking very aggressive steps in terms of driving transformation, and not many people will like what we're doing. But we remain resolute that it's the right thing to do to sustain the economy in the long term and therefore sustain the portfolio itself and social cohesion, of course. I think the issue of unlisted investment, we have made a commitment that we will publish annually, but there is a process that we need to clear, and we've debated it at the last COF as well, to say we are committed to being transparent. We are committed to transparency, but there is a process that we need to follow in order to publish eventually that portfolio. Another very important thing that I need to stress here is that we are a regulated entity. We are regulated by the FSCA in terms of our activities when we invest on behalf of clients. So there is that oversight, and we report on an ongoing basis on our positions, on our activities, the financial state of health of the organization, so that we can make sure the FSCA can, you know, approve that we are a fit and proper organization, and therefore we fully comply with our FSP license. We are audited by the AEG, Auditor General, on an annual basis. And most importantly, we report to the client on a regular basis. They know the portfolio positions. They know our activity. So in terms of oversight, I think we are covered. And as one of the honorary members said, there has never been a complaint from FSB or FSCA that says we made bad investment or we've breached the mandate of the client or that sort of. We've never had that, you know. So I thought I should put that on the table. The complaints are coming from elsewhere, and to some extent, even people who are not necessarily qualified to make, you know, investment, you know, decisions, whatever, on this sort of matters. I'm just going through this list of questions. I think there was an issue of the smear campaign that I really want to deal with very quickly. I know some of it is being dealt with by the minister, you know, in terms of the report from the board. But I must say upfront that Mrs. Slow, I have no relationship with Ms. Slow. Ms. Slow and her partner approached the PIC for financing. And we treated them like any other South African or person who come to request financing from the PIC. Some of their transactions, or all of them actually, did not meet the minimum requirements as per assessment of the teams that deals with these transactions. I don't deal with transactions. I pass them on to the experts to deal with and then guide on whether we can do it or not. They do all that analysis, and then we decide whether we proceed or not. So in those circumstances, none of the transactions made the cut. But at the same time, when someone approaches us and we think we can refer them to a body or a company that can assist them, we do so. We do so on an ongoing basis. I thought I should just put that on the table, that I have no relationship with Ms. Slow at all. I only know Mrs. Slow like any other person that approaches the PIC for financing.
To members and to everybody here about the significance of what he is saying. He knows full well to lie to a parliamentary committee is like a crime. And for him to say it so confidently, unless the media has got evidence to the contrary, or unless anybody here has got evidence to the contrary, that thing of people flinging accusations, what you have done is almost, in fact it's worse than in a court of law maybe, because you are treating contempt the people's organ of popular power, parliament, the tribune of the people. So, you know, I'm pleading with the media, man. You know, we raised it with Mr. Mkhonazi, dear. They kept calling him a Gupta acolyte, right? And in a meeting, yeah, he explained he doesn't know who they are and so on. Remember, I said, it's just wrong. It's just wrong. You know, it's a swear word, the Guptas, and understandably so. They brought this upon themselves, largely, right? But the truth is, it's just wrong. So can this committee now clear this thing? You don't know Mrs. Lowe in a personal capacity, meaning you have no special relationship with her.
I have no special.
Right, that's what he's saying. I hope the media will cover it. And if Mr. Daniel Majila, you are lying to us, right, apart from a court of law sorting you out, we will crucify you in the public domain. Your great-grandchildren will see it there. Right? Now, having said that, I'm not going to allow this. Is there anybody? I'm not going to allow these accusations. I'm going to plead with the media. Investigative journalists, do your job. Right? We fought for this democracy so you can have the right to investigate corruption and reveal it. And we thank you for the good things you do. But can you now, whoever you are from the media, stop this thing about giving us some, having a special relationship with her and so on. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Lie. No, then it's a lie. There's no misleading. It's a blatant lie. There's no other word for it. In that case, it's a blatant lie. Yes. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Chair. There were issues, of course, around the letter from the previous minister. I'm sure the Chair can help us with that, or the Deputy Chair, on how we move forward on that one. The investment in Sagamata, we didn't do the investment in Sagamata, and my colleague can just briefly give you the reasons.
We carried out, of course, the normal DD, which included other teams within the PIC, the legal risk and ESG teams. But I think the most important thing is that we really didn't see, we differed on the value that was in the pre-listing statement was a lot richer than what we were getting. So we decided not to pursue the investment on that basis.
The other issue is about the exit strategy of independent news media. Again, that is market sensitive information we can't disclose, but there is an exit strategy that is being worked on. I think we are now at on IO, the issue of the transaction costs and the controversy around the capital protection.
Yeah, so there were a number of questions. The capital protection or downside protection, as we call it, that is now in place. Our lawyers are going through that agreement. That's all I can say, because clearly IO is now a listed company and we have to respect that. But we've got that downside protection in place. As far as the question of transaction costs, we believe that PSG and AEI Corporate Finance did the advisory work. The fee in question is between 1 and 1.5% of the overall transaction, which is normal for on the listed side. But I must just point out that, you know, I think if we look at companies like PSG, for example, they would use PSG, corporate finance. You look at Bidvest, they would use Investec, corporate finance. You look at Remgro, they will use, RMB corporate finance. So using an in-house corporate finance, it shouldn't surprise anybody. You know, a lot of white-run companies actually do use in-house corporate finance houses to do that work. So I'm just putting it on record that it shouldn't come as a surprise.
Chair, can I ask a follow-up question? Let them reply, because then everybody wants to ask a follow-up question. But, okay, if you do it, then everybody's entitled to. Fine, go ahead.
I just wanted to know, Dr. Den, that when you're discussing your fee structures in a public discourse, in terms of the fee market, are you not exposed to the type of principles you utilize in terms of the percentage terms that you're using for your transactions and putting you up for your competitors to understand how you structure your fee structure?
Through you, Chair, I think it may be problematic because in most cases we source advisory from different service providers, you know, so we need to subject that to a competitive process of some sort of procurement. So we have more or less parameters within which we can operate. So in this instance, it's not damaging. You know, we more or less know the parameters, and from where we sit, we do subject such to a competitive process.
trying to sieve out what should be before us and what we shouldn't be before us, so that you are, we're able to see whether are you not being caged in a way.
And then there was the question on VBS about the 150 deposit and 750, I think, of a loan. We did receive such a request. We did analysis and ran it through our internal processes, and we couldn't approve it on the basis of the financial situation that we could pick up from our analysis. The issue of standoff, this 9.5 billion that is purported to have been designed to avoid a 10 billion, it's a simple calculation. It was 2.5% of the shares in issue of standoff at the price at that time, plus transaction costs, will put you closer to the figure of 9.5 or 9.75. It was not designed to be under, you know, 10 billion. If the stock price ran to 100 rands, we would be talking a different thing. Then we will refer that to the right committee, you know. The issue of transaction fees, will have to come back to you. I think we did it last time at SCOF, if my memory serves me well, but we'll provide you with the answer, Chairperson, if we can do that later on. Husna Nassau, we received a long parliamentary question from the DA, and we have responded, and the minister, through the ministry, I think that will be tabled at some point. The ministry is still considering the answer. I think the comment around the multiple deal beneficiaries, I think it was along those lines, that it should be discouraged. We will certainly consider that. We will, you know, see how we can incorporate that without killing the spirit of black industrialists. You know, we'll have to figure out how we do it in an elegant way. We have parameters, exposure limits in rent terms, you know, so we'll incorporate those limits, you know, just to tidy up. Board representation is in large companies that we're working on through our Directors Affairs Committee. B, beneficiaries, 100%, we are looking at women and youth in transactions, and most importantly, we have been, I think we've said many times that the black empowerment transactions that we do will include the members of the owners of the assets that we manage, that we have incorporated already. Chair, I think I've covered most of the issues from my notes, unless my colleagues, there's something that I've missed, you can advise.
Chair, can I then make my remarks in response?
Yeah.
Yes, thank you.
Okay, yeah.
I must appreciate the way the committee has handled this matter. I want to make this promise. As long as some of us are here, we'll subject ourselves to this process without any complaints or whatever, because we know the nobility of this process, of the executive being subjected to this process. And I must appreciate the fact that the committee has come to find an important balance between protecting internal processes provided they reach credible conclusion within reasonable time. And that's a very important point. Internal process provided a risk conclusion within reasonable time. Because here, I think we're going to officially ask our team to give you the letter of the minister. I'm sure some of us must have read it in the social media, but officially. Because the question of the former minister, in paragraph 3 of the letter of the minister, here is the minister's point. As to the board's request for an engagement with the previous minister on the issues raised in the letter of 9 October 2017, I propose that we meet as soon as possible after I have been finished with the responses and documents mentioned in paragraph 2. The point here is that the minister wants the board to explain, in general, what perspective do they have with regard to what the minister requested at that time should be investigations. And in our response, the board's response has been, the board commits itself to such a meeting with the minister. Of course, key documentations that the minister requested are with the minister, and so on, we have said that. Now, one of the key things, Chair, I wanted to request before I make one or two or three issues is that I appeal strongly that we must never exchange process for expedience at any point in time. Because there's a huge price to pay. Because the danger of populism when you deal with this matter is that populism, to me, is like a sweetened consumable. It's like a sweetened consumable being fed to somebody with a low sugar level, but being sugar-free itself. You only get shock when somebody is dying because what he's been sucking, tasting sweet, there is no sugar in it. That's populism. The other point is that we should avoid denting the good work of people in the name of claiming to protect them. Because the former President Nelson Mandela once appeared before court in his greatness. And that succeeded to entrench the centrality of the justice system. He didn't say, I am great. Because I'm great, I cannot appear before the court. Because you dent the good work of a good person. Because the problem is that if you allow that to happen, a good work finds itself continuously being questioned through unanswered questions around itself. PIC, there is no debate that it has done a lot of good work. But to protect that good work and those who made that good work, there must be no unanswered questions because that good work has been done. Because you're not helping the images of those who did this good work. I think we heard the chair when he says, it's correct to find out why is this thing persisting in public. Two, I agree with you, sir. I've already advised in the media, even I spoke later to 11 people, that PIC itself on the process of the minister should actually cease to communicate on that matter. The Treasury, and which is under the ministry, must be able to be the one to explain this, what to call this process. And I want to say again, where we work, be it in Treasury, on PIC or PIC, there will be no holy cows, Chair. I want to repeat that. There will be no holy cows. You must not say because Mwanji came across well during inquiry, there's a question around his life. You say because he has done that wonderful work, he should not answer. You are not helping Mwanji. You are undermining the greatness of the work you think he has done. Now, again, you raise the issue of delegation. My view is that we need to sit as a board to to discuss this matter, because between delegation of authority and oversight, you must find a balance. If there's a lot of delegation given down, the oversight must be of such a nature that it prevents the abuse of that delegation. It is capable to do so. Because if you give high delegation and oversight is weak from preventing the abuse of that delegation, there's a weakness in that power, what you call, in that power relation. So, having thanked the committee on this matter in the manner we have dealt with, Chair, I want to say, let's respect the process, a process that has got time limits, that is not indefinite. And I promise you, as a new chair and the minister's process, who I have got a lot of respect for, there is no way that this would not be concluded within reasonable time. Thank you very much, Chair.
I suggest a way forward. Let's see if members agree. See, Floyd rightly raises, DM, that the UDF had forgotten, right? Is taken the UDM has taken this matter of the board's initial decision to clear the CEO up for review, right? So that's a court process. So strictly speaking, it's sub judice. What's how you say the word? Whatever, sub judice, right? So I'm saying that one. It's not yet. Okay, but in any case, let the courts decide, right? I think he's right. I'd forgotten that they'd done that. Secondly, he's also making lots of allegations also, and he's a member of this parliament. And to be fair to him, he has raised many issues over the years that subsequently the ANC and government have pursued and found some substance in, right? So I think, look, the committee, what I'm suggesting is that we formulate it loosely, that something like this, that in view of the considerable importance of the PIC to government's developmental, economic transformation, job creation, and other related goals, and in view of the persistent public allegations against the CEO, the committee, while it has no evidence before it of any wrongdoing, feels that the board might want to consider, especially with the new board chairperson, looking into this matter appropriately further. So we leave it for you to look into it. It might be best for everybody, because it's the workers' money, it's the pensioners' money, it's ultimately the fiscus at stake. So something loose, it's not a recommendation, it's asking them to consider it, because I think Floyd's unhappy about my earlier formulation. Let's see if we can have a consensus on that one. The second thing to say, I don't know if the members will agree, and I haven't bounced it off Tandy, the whip of our committee, and it's just an idea, because sometimes you have to pull things together off the hoof like all chairs have to. So another consideration might give is we should say clearly that unless the DM and deputy minister, deputy chair in particular, because you've been around for a long time compared to our new DM, if you refer to yourself as new now, just now. Yeah, so I'm looking at, so you can ask your PA whoever is here with your staff member. Yeah. So what I'm saying is, look, at this stage it seems clear. There's no evidence that one individual can, in terms of the delegated, that are you a very, very good DM? Let me say, excellent in delegation, oversight, and responsibility. Brilliant, actually. So if that's the route you're taking, I'm sure most of us will be happy with that, but I can't speak for everybody. But the point I want to make quickly to save time is, can't we ask the board, let's see what the members feel, the second suggestion is to look into the delegation of authority to individuals, not the CEO individuals, and have more effective oversight by the board, bearing in mind that the non-executive members are not full-time. Just review it. You may come to the conclusion there's no need to do anything. Certainly in our bills, comrades, I was asked by a journalist, are you going to reduce the power of the CEO? I don't know if somebody saw it, because I did read the City Press on Sunday, and the guy was accurate, he quoted me accurately. He said the bill doesn't deal with that per se. That's a relationship between the board and the CEO. It's not for us. It's an operational matter, it'll change over time. We can't make it rigid. But what we're doing is making them more accountable to Parliament. And by doing that, it means an individual can't just get away, you know. So you must maybe review the delegated authority, right? So it deals with all this stuff in the public domain. especially on the eve of an election, where people have got all sorts of nefarious, not only good reasons for doing these things, then some of the issues, comrades, can't we suggest, are being dealt with at the moment through the bills, two bills we have before us. And let's ponder over what we've learned today. There might be some implications for us as a committee tinkering with the bill if necessary. So what I'm saying is we can deal with these issues, learning the lessons of the last 9 months and more, through legislation. So future committees will have a better framework within which to hold to oversight. Bearing in mind, Thandi, given the resolution we passed today and given the need for constitutional and legal advice, we might want to insert something in our bill. It's just a thought. I'm not saying it's a resolution. I want the comrades in the ANC to think about it and those who are comrades in the EFF to think about it and colleagues to think about it. That maybe we need now to get clearer so committees don't go through this whole process again, to say something in the law about the limits and possibilities of oversight in open committees, so that we don't forget what Floyd said last week and Thandi also said today in a less, let's say, effusive and direct way. But Floyd was very good last week, actually. Right? Never mind, dear, in this committee, we look at people for what they say, as long as they're being honest, right? And we look at them, and even people who are dishonest, we look at what they say, and sometimes we say they're right, right? So what I'm saying is, shouldn't we take into account, comrade DM, think about this, right, from your side, that we don't ask of the PIC what is not asked of other asset managers, while bearing in mind that the PIC, if it operates in the private sector, it is answerable to the workers of this country and to the fiscus, and therefore Parliament has a stake. So find the right balance. Maybe we need a clause. Frank, are you thinking about these things? They're constitutionally tenable, about not exposing your market-sensitive things, but not using that as an excuse to do wrong things. And maybe we put in some clauses there on tackling, I don't know, accountability stronger. So we have stronger accountability, but clear up parameters within which we do it. That's what I'm suggesting. Nati?
No, thank you very much, Honorable Chair. On the first issue, I agree, but we may have got to do some little bit of reformulation. We rather call upon the ministry, not the board, the ministry, and then by extension of course working with the board and whatever to institute some further inquiries and investigation into these allegations in the public domain. Just slightly there, because our duty is basically from a very strict functional point of view, really. You know, I think it's the ministry. So that's one part. There is a reason why you have a divide between executive management and board function. And I wouldn't like us to rush into this thing about, oh yeah, the CEO has got too much power and therefore revise and review the delegation framework and so forth. Because you will find that basically the reason why it is structured in a particular manner is to facilitate functional and administrative sort of function of the institution. Now, and I think because of some other things that I did before, for an example, you know, part of the falling point with regards to the SABC is exactly this problem, the lack of striking the balance between delegation and oversight work. And therefore, we're driven by this notion that a board manages. There's no such a thing, and it can never be. And if we allow that, we're killing institutions, basically. Managers must manage, and their work must be overseen. You know, in basic, simple terms, that's what it is. And I think what the DM was then talking to is striking this kind of balance in such a way that if I am a chief executive officer, for an example, I'm still held accountable for the very same decisions that I take on my own without necessarily the approval of the board and so on and so it goes. So, for me, I think that was a better formulation. So, I wouldn't be in favor of a resolution that we take here and now and say no review in the light of some journalist or some other person out there who's complaining about the perceived powers of a chief executive officer, for an example. So I think the first part, I think let's support you there in terms of that can be a resolving point and position of the standing committee on finance. Maybe the second part would be to then say, you know, the committee also probably does call and urge the ministry to also look at other institutional governance issues and governance instruments, for an example, because, you know, that's broader than just also the delegations and so on. I mean, if there is a need for the ministry to then review governance instruments, for an example, they would certainly, you know, get to this point. But I think it's a point that we ourselves in this very same committee can effectively make. Thanks very much, Honourable Chair.
Yeah, Chair, actually, Comrade Nathi reminds me of a specific discussion we once had that related to whether can you take a board to task if it has failed in its fiduciary responsibilities to. An MP can come very handy on this because I always say when we legislate, we don't legislate for events. Whether there was an event and therefore we become suspicious that moving forward that event will reoccur and so on. So that's reacting to issues. And I always insist that when you legislate, it's the intention is good governance. It's not responding to events. And now, MJ will remember when we were dealing with the FSR bill, how deep we scrutinized whether a board should be held before a court of law if a wrong decision has been taken and so on. We had a very intensive discussions on that. And the PIC Act and the regulations thereof should be guidance to the powers and functions of both the boards, the CEOs and so on. And for now, we have not yet come to a conclusion that suggests, unless if there's empirical evidence before us, that there's a need for us to relook the roles of what transaction. And you can imagine if the legislator can regulate transactions, the legislator meddling with issues of transactions, which one should be dealt by the board and which one should be dealt by the CEO. Really? That's not our mandate. That's not our purview. Can never, so we need to be very careful. And that's the things that I raise on a regular basis when we are found wanting because there's a issue in the public discourse and it's brought before us and we find ourselves heated under the collar to engage on it and we blur the lines in terms of our responsibility. And this is a typical example there. Because you see, when Dr. Machila presents, he gives us categories of transactions and who and which committee take decisions thereof. And he gave us figures that if it's 10 billion and so on, it's this committee, it's that one, and so on and so forth. And I take it was for information's sake. It's not for us to decide whether it's correct or not. Okay? Because once we get into that space, can you imagine if we said that the CEO must not be involved in a transaction that involves a mere 10 billion for an institution that
this
goes into
trillions.
This
a problem, actually. No one said that. So I don't know why people are saying you're prescribing in law.
Chair, what
I'm
saying...
Said. So people are responding to things that wasn't said, actually. So can I rule that actually nobody said that we should pass a law to prescribe what the delegation should be? Nor did we say that it should be in the PIC bill. We did actually say that we told a journalist we're not doing that. So can we just be clear? No one said that. There's no difference between what you're saying and
Chair,
I'm saying.
Chair, yeah. I did not interject.
We'll just save time.
I did not interject when you were presenting. If you disagree...
According to a red herring, nobody said that.
No, Chair, I did not even say you said so. I'm just making an analysis because... Chair, we need to clear those issues that are in the public discourse so that it is clear which ones we will not process as the committee. So there are certain issues that we are insisting this committee is not going to process. And one of them is to review...
Proposing.
I'm responding to the public discourse, not to you, Chair.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Yes, that's why I'm saying I'm processing matters that are in the public discourse. So be patient, Chair. I'm responding directly to the public discourse. This public court of opinion needs to be clarified. It needs to understand what we can do and what we cannot do. Yeah, because this matter end up here with us, you see. So we need to clear them so that they must know. It's not our duty. And it can never be our duty. So it needs to be clear moving forward.
Fine, you're responding to what's in the media. Okay, fine.
Yeah. Responding is clarity. We're providing clarity, Chair. That's how you provide clarity. I don't make a statement.
Right.
I don't have powers
okay.
to make a statement.
Right. So you're clarifying the wrong interpretations in the media of the role of this committee. Okay, that's fine.
Let me leave it at that, Chair.
Respond to issues that haven't been raised by the Chair, certainly. Right.
Oh, I'll leave it at that. Okay. But there's no statement that will come from the committee that says we'll do that.
No one said that, right? So there's no point raising it. Okay. Floyd?
No, thanks, Chair. Do you know the market sensitivity issue is, I think it's a genuine issue because so the DA says, what is the exit plan on independent media? And then the CEO says that we have an exit strategy and we're not going to talk about it. And then Business Day tomorrow will run the front page that the place is going to exit independent media. What do other shareholders do? If it's a listed company and what if the PIC is leaving, what happens? And which has borrowed money from the PIC, which must be paid back. Then as members of parliament, we must be asking such questions. I think it's sabotage. And on behalf of certain interests, you see some of these things that I think we need to talk about how we deal with some of these issues. And I think also it must inform legislation. And they try to push it that now we don't want transparency and everything else there. Because some will sabotage a lot of corporations if the framework is that you must now come and explain here or disclose that now we're going to leave there because of this, we're going to put money there because of this, and whatever way you put it, I think that there are certain oversight functions that we can perform without sabotaging the work of the asset manager. We must handle it differently because they are also operating in a competitive space with other asset managers that do not are not subjected to this kind of mechanisms. I think we must find a different way of handling it in terms of what is required. There must not be corruption in the PIC. Money of workers must not be misinvested in the wrong things. We must oversee that, but some of the detail is not necessary for us to interact with. It's not wise. Because we have the obligation as public representatives to guard the money of public servants, to guard the integrity of the PIC. Thank you.
Mr. Benia.
Thank you, Chair. Just to be on the record, my question was, in fact, whether Sagar Ramatha was the exit strategy to which Dr. Dan Machila has responded to, has referred to in at least two previous meetings of the Finance Committee. That question was not answered. Chair, I'd like to ask a number of follow-up questions because a number of my questions were not responded to. Is that in order?
Well, I suggest that we've agreed that the board will apply its mind to all the questions they haven't answered. They will look into the matter, and we will meet at the latest by the middle of September to get a response to those questions. Now, we have exceeded our time. In fact, we've taken extra 15 minutes plus 18 minutes, 33 minutes. We also have to look at the PIC bill. So nobody is stopping you from getting your matters pursued, but we are suggesting you accept the approach the majority is suggesting. No one's hiding anything. Let them do a proper investigation into the outstanding issues and come back to us. The other option is you can send further the issues that you are not clarified in. What I'm suggesting the committee applies, he's right to put it in writing, and I don't interfere with things, except if you're fueling race hatred or something, which hasn't happened, or you're asking things that are absurd. No. So what I'm basically saying is that unless you ask questions that are unconstitutional and unsound, and you convert yourself into a one-person commission, actually up till today there's not a single time you've asked anything that I have individually decided can't be proceeded. The committee decides. I have no authority to do that. So I'm saying you can send it in writing. There's no problem. Yeah. So I don't think at this stage we're going to get clearer answers. They're going to say they need more time. What would be the point? On the Sagarmatha issue, what you're saying is that your question is misunderstood and there wasn't a reply. Maybe that one you can quickly reply to if you think it's appropriate. Otherwise, do the further oversight and we can answer. So that one's straightforward. Why don't you just send your questions in writing within a few days and they'll have to respond.
Chair, I mean, we've called them and invested in a considerable amount of time preparing for the session, and since they're here, I think we should have the opportunity to...
Can I then get guidance from the committee? Without, let's be very clear, I'm putting to the committee... Right, fine. Okay, a process matter. I'm putting to the committee, Tandi, let me put the question clearly to you. Now, I'll go very slowly, because the last time I was completely misunderstood, so let me be very clear. I'm putting it to this committee that... The earlier before lunch process that there was agreement between, I think, amongst other MPs apart from Mr. Mania, and the replies from the DM and the CEO and others here should be taken into account. Secondly, nobody can repress anybody from asking any question unless the lawyers advise us it's unconstitutional or outside the law. So within that context, the process being suggested is exactly what I've said. I won't cover it. Now, is there anybody apart from Mr. Mania who feels we should have a second tranche? I am available except for 15 minutes from 4 o'clock to 4:30, and I'll be back at 4:30. So is there anybody who wants to pursue it further? Because I've got, look here, let me show you. I can't. This thing is closed. I've got about 14 questions also that I want to ask that I'll tweak into questions. And I want to ask them too. So we have gone as far as we can. They need more time. It seems reasonable to Mr. Mania. I know your press statement will go out saying you'll be repressed, you and all. Do it. It's fine. You can play the media and they can be played if they want. But the truth is we're not going to repress you. We're just giving you a process matter. What's the problem? They're not going to be... There's a new deputy minister. Give him some time. He's promised in the media, no less, on Sunday, that he's going to get to the bottom of things. And he said those things. Unless you think he's lying. So, why don't you agree with the process? The media will cover you a lot. You'll get a lot of coverage, enough for the next few hours. You'll be in the media all over, so you've covered your quota for today. What do you want? You can I get guidance from the meeting? What do you want now?
Chair, let's close the meeting. If we're done, I don't think that...
No, not close, I mean close this section of the meeting.
Yeah, this section of the meeting,
okay,
yes.
Fine.
And
okay.
Then, because we've got
okay.
Other things...
Right.
Can't discuss
anything
forever.
Please.
Interested party, because every time when you leave, you make me to chair, you see? So, so by virtue...
You're not the committee chair. I have to deal with other issues.
Yeah, but...
I have to apply
I'm
now for the closure of the meetings.
Chair, I'm saying by virtue, I need to respond, because I'm not going to chair a meeting that's going to sit until late, because David is not happy with how his questions were answered, or he believes. So those that were not answered, they will be responded to later.
Okay, fine. So within 7 days, you can give them in writing. You want to respond to the one question that Mr. Maney asked, that he says you misunderstood and he'd like a reply to?
No, Chair. We can't disclose exits of our inquiries.
Okay, thank you. And Floyd's covered that. So I think we're agreeing on this. One is that with Nati's correction, that you will consider it, right, looking at generally. Two is that we take account of the UDM court case. Three is, I think, two parties are agreeing that we insert into the bill that the committee has got. I hope Frank's listening. Insert into the bill something that's constitutionally and legally tenable and consistent with the rules of Parliament. And Frank, we'd like you to give it to somebody external to look at in the bill to take account of market sensitivities being dealt with either in closed meetings or not at all, so that the PIC is not disadvantaged. Okay, then finally, I want to make something utterly, patently clear. Firstly, I want to repeat, and I have the right to do this as a chair, this committee does not respond and jump, unlike a certain party here. Every time I've written to the party concerned, it's in our program. Can I direct people to our program? Our program says, Nati, can you look at the program? In green, right? It's very clear. This committee does not, every time there's an issue in the public domain, change its entire program. This meeting is held now instead of immediately following a certain request, because we said no. The media all rang me because a statement was issued. So the media all rang me and said, why are you not discussing it? I said, you should be discussing it. It was supposed to be last week, but the DM was out of the country. So no, we don't do that, Nati. Otherwise, a committee program will be dictated to by individual journalists who have fed information, but sometimes correct, sometimes not. So can I clarify that? Secondly, the reason I did not say at all we should revise the framework of delegations. I never said that. I need to clarify that. I said the minister might want to consider, based on what he said, a review. Thirdly, I made it patently clear that, look at City Press page 1, the journalist covered me. His question was, is your bill going to reduce the power of the CEO? My answer is exactly what I told him. No, that is an internal matter between the board and the CEO and the management. We cannot, in law, rigidly put it there. Nati, I said all of that, right? We cannot. It must be something they must decide. Furthermore, this committee is not above the Public Finance Management Act. And it sets out very clearly that board members cannot intervene in operational issues. We critique the SAA board chair for precisely that, the previous one. So let us be clear. We have no authority to undo other laws. What we have said, the party that you and I come from, has always argued that individual power should be constrained. So all we are saying is not revise, review it. They might come to a decision. If they don't want to do it, it's fine. There's no resolution being passed here. We are merely putting this, minuting this. So I don't think there's any difference what you're saying, what Tandi is saying, and what I'm saying. But Tandi is responding to the very media that you said we shouldn't respond to, but that's fine. So can I be clear, in case the media misunderstand me, I didn't say revise. I said perhaps consideration should be given. If I was appointed to this position, I would do it. As a new chairperson, I would want to look at the delegations. Most people do that. Not even you, when became a minister, did you blindly accept everything, or did you say no? It's a new context now. I'm the new minister. I want to revise these things. Of course you did it. So if you can do it, why are you denying him the chance to do it? You can't instruct him to revise it. She's right. So why are we having this debate? Which journalist is Tandi responding? She's responding to me. Yes, I'm a journalist. I am a journalist. But that's not another role I'm playing now. She's responding to me and she's denying it, right? And Nati, you know what? I have to speak Isi Zulu now, right? Because you are not following me. There's utterly no difference what you and I are saying, right? So there's consensus between Tandi, Nati, and me. That's all. Fine. And I am not above the PFMA, and I cannot take decisions on behalf of this committee. I can only rule in terms of the rules, and when you're unhappy, Nati, in this committee, it's clear. You move a motion of no confidence in me, or you go to the chief up and say, fire me. Good. Yeah, please do. Please. No, do it. I refuse to do wrong things, whoever it is. All right. So, let us say that I want to conclude on this note. Mr. Maney, you've got 7 days, right? To submit those questions. The ANC, you've got 7 days. EFF, any questions? I've got some questions I'll take through the study group, right? because there will be questions that not necessarily a chair wants to ask. The final thing to say is, DM, we wish you well in this portfolio and this particular role. It's an unenviable role, really. It's a very challenging role. And as we come to the elections, I want to suggest it's again more contested. But you know what? We shouldn't all cry and whinge and whine. This is the nature of politics in this country. We're a very unequal society, one of the worst in the world, DM. Do you think in such a society, people are not going to contest? There are people terrified of transformation. You think they're not going to contest the TIC? Contesting the PIC is in some senses contesting the government. It's in some senses contesting the ANC. That's what it's about at the end of the day. But to say all of this is to also say nobody, DM, including you and me, can use market-sensitive issues and can use the importance of the PIC to hide corruption. Whoever it is must face the music. And as a committee, we have no evidence about the CEO, but we also have no ability to conclude. We are not a court of justice yet. We're not the board chair. That's your baby. So you do what you want. The committee can just suggest to you possibilities. And I think on two things we've taken a decision. So, Frank, you've got a mandate to look into a provision there. I will confer with the powers that be with Tandi on that resolution, because it'll have to apply elsewhere too. And we will take it to Cedric Frolic and so on. Let everybody have a say on that resolution. And, Frank, I don't think the Parliamentary Legal Services Unit alone should do that amendment to the bill. I would like it within constraints to be referred to some external opinion. We don't always have to pay for external opinion. There are people who will do it free of charge as well. So let's look into that. Thank you. Can we move on now? Yes, sorry, Mr. Mayor.
Chair, I just wish to put it on record that I disagree with the decision, and despite us being here for hours, it amounts to a whitewash, and we did not get answers to the hard questions from the PIC.
Okay. Yeah. For the record, I want to say that two, maybe three international journalists have told me that what we did on the Steinhoff matter, Tandi, is unprecedented. The parliaments in Germany and, as far as I know, Holland, up till now, haven't done it. I've even been asked, I took part in a panel, so contrary to the view of Mr. Mania that our Steinhoff hearing embarrassed the country and it's an international embarrassment, I don't know on whose behalf he speaks. The international regulators, by the way, two people have contacted me to ask for advice on how a committee can do this. All of them are non-South African. So I would like them to like to make it clear that Mr. Mania...
Yeah, the GA has never governed anywhere, so they can't
So but you have a right, Mr. Mania. Salt must not go die so that you can say these things. So you can say whatever you want. For myself, I think we had a reasonable hearing. It's an ongoing process. And before we part the board, we're dealing with a bill now. It's a committee bill. You don't have to sit, Mr. DM. But there's one thing I have to do. My friend, you want to introduce yourself. There's a third board member here, who surreptitiously told me she's a board member. And I said, my friend, I don't want to say what I really said in the public debate, but I'll tell you what I told her, right? There are some things I have to show some decorum of. Minister, I'll tell you when I see you later. Okay, over to you, my friend. Introduce yourself. How long you've been in the board, it
took a very long time, but it's a pleasure for me to really introduce myself as a non-executive director of the PIC. My name is Dudu Hlajwayo.
How long have you been in the board?
This is my second term. I'm in the first year of the second term.
Okay. Just to say one final thing to me before you part. On SAA, and I think it's generally the thing, I know Floyd harasses me about it as if we don't agree. We normally say the chair of a board and or the deputy chair and at least one other member should be here, but we don't encourage more than three people because it's a heavy cost. Now, the final thing to say is because of the nature of the sitting, I see, Dan, you brought your entire team here. We're not intimidated by the numbers. We deal with the substance. So you, four people spoke, right? It's a lot of money. So I don't think 11 people should come again. I leave it to you, DM, to think about this. Only people who are going to speak. Others, you see, now I gather 408 does show every meeting. So sometime between now and Sunday, this meeting will be cast, right? So those people who are not here, who want to know what really happened, they must go into channel 408 and Google this thing and see what time this committee is coming up. They can see it on Sunday over lunch. Watch it for themselves. They don't have to fly to Cape Town. It's a lot of money, my brother. And I don't know whether they stayed here overnight, but for now it's fine. DMB leave that for you as National Treasury Custodian, the custodian of the budget. Because you'll get a question, no? The question is on its way. It's drafted already. How many people attended? How much was paid for? Which is reasonable, but in the circumstances, you know what? It's a unique event, right? People are all held to account. So thank you, DM. Thank you, CEO. But now we're dealing with the bill issues, and I think you should leave some people behind on the bill issues, PIC. Yeah? Okay. Yeah. So let's move on. Thank you very much, DM and Deputy Chair of the Board. Can we move on to what are we seeking to do here, colleagues? Let's be clear. We just want an highlight of the major themes that we need to reflect on based on the hearings. Where's Nolutando? Are you here, my friend? Where's she? Who is dealing with this thing? Where's Frank? Is it Nolutando? Where's she? Oh, you're dealing with it. Okay. Right, so basically what we're doing here is, yeah, we're not getting close by close to the bill. That we will deal after the 30-day lapses, right? Okay. What we're doing here, colleagues, is to give us a quick overview so political parties can look at some of the policy issues and mull over this in their particular structures and forums. Over to you, Frank. You've got, colleagues, last night, eight, 10-page thing. Okay, right. Take us through the main themes, please.
Thank you, Chair. I think let me just start. I'm just looking for that table that I made some notes on. The main themes, Chair, I think first of all there's the issue of transparency that runs through both bills, from the beginning to the end of both bills. So that's the, I think that's the main thing that one must realize. So I'll refer back to that. Chair, you caught me a little bit now. I had so many things to do and stuff to realize that.
Copy? Of his matrix, he's in Nolutando's matrix.
That one was drafted by Nolutando. I have that here. I just made.
Yeah, that's the one we're looking at. That's our document.
Yeah. So one can go through that if you want me to, but there's a transparency issue that runs through. If you want me to also indicate who the people were that commented on certain parts, I can do that.
That's less important.
Okay, fine. So we
Frank, we're doing what we normally do.
Yes.
Between you and Nolutando, you drafted a matrix. You sent the matrix to us, right? We distributed it. It's to that matrix that you need to speak. If there's a further matrix you've come up with that you and Nolutando have drafted, then we must distribute a second copy. Now, so speak to the matrix, please, my friend. It was supposed to start at 15:00.
Okay, yes, fine, sir. So the issue of transparency, I think, was ringing large from Obungane, and they really think that everything should be open to the public, minutes of meetings, et cetera, et cetera, and that's something that Fiducia also looked at, but in a lesser extent, because they're looking more at the mandates between investors, mainly the pension funds, the GPF and PIC, and they actually rather want to keep it there than open up the whole project. So that's the first issue, Chair, and that's page 1 and 2 of the matrix. Now, the matrix follows the rationale of the bill, which deals with clauses, so I'll follow that. I think the second issue, Chair, is what I would call the indicators to achieve the objective of the PIC. And the objective of the PIC is to be a financial service provider covered by the FISE Act. Now, we've put out in the bill certain areas that should be taken into account when giving effect to that objective. COSATU is broadly in support of that in the committee bill, and the private members bill doesn't deal with this. Fiducia is not really in favor of that. They think it's vague, the issues or the indicators that's put out there to guide the PIC to reach its objectives. They are concerned, I thought a sub-scene for that would be that the PIC can assist with buying property for members of the GPF. Fiducia does not support that amendment and thinks that that thing belongs into a, or that amendment belongs in the Pension Funds Act, and there is a section 19, subsection 5 of the Pension Funds Act they're referring to say that that is where it belongs and not in the PIC. If you want specific assistance for GPF members, Fiducia says, then change the rules of the GPF. Chair, if we page around, what the Treasury said about that specific issue, The Treasury also is more inclined to take Fedusa's position in saying that the issue of indicators or how you should make your investment or what should guide your decision to reach your objectives is a matter between the depositor and the PIC, and it should not be determined in terms of the bill. And the reason why they're saying that, I think, Chair, is to say that certain empowering provisions, the provisions empowering the GEPF, for instance, already give certain indicators, and we shouldn't now put another set of indicators how the PIC should do it. It's a matter, it's a fiduciary matter for the GEPF board that will then instruct the PIC to do certain investments on their behalf. Concerning the financing of property for GEPF members, they said it doesn't identify which money can be used. So basically, they are concerned that GEPF members will get financial assistance from funds that have been deposited by other pension funds, and they say that they're not in favor of that. Chair, then we're getting to appointment processes. That would be the third theme in my view. And sub-themes there would be the appointment of the chairperson, appointment of the board, and then the directives issued by the Minister for Management Functions. When it comes to the appointment of the chairperson, here we have comments on both the committee bill and the private members bill. The appointment of the chairperson, maybe the easiest would be to start with National Treasury. They prefer no amendment to the process of appointing the chairperson. In other words, it should be the minister in consultation with the cabinet. They're not really in favor of the committee, the private members bill that says there should be involvement from the National Assembly. The committee bill identifies the minister, or if the minister is not available, the deputy minister. The Treasury is not in favor of that either, because there seems to be a merger between the executive authority, who is the minister, and the accounting officer, the accounting authority, who would be the board. And that is a problem for them. And they've made further comments on whether it should be the deputy minister, where they say, well, it can be that, but then it is fixed, and what if the president doesn't appoint the deputy minister? So in effect, if you put there that it must be the deputy minister, you're already tying the hands of the president to say you must appoint the deputy minister of finance, in other words. So it's
okay, you got your way, Brian, I think.
That's what they say, Chairperson. Not that I've not said that. the Treasury is in favour of keeping the bill as it is. So, Chair, the Treasury said that they get weekends when Betty's Bay to think these things through, but we have to work to do these things. Fedusa's comment on the Chairperson, they prefer the private members' bill more than the committee bill. I would use that, would identify that position more as the king position. It's basically, it's an independent chairperson. It goes through a public nomination process, etc. And that's also Amabungani would also prefer that when it comes to the appointment of the chairperson and the board, to go through a public process of nominations and then an appointment process. So those are the areas of the chairperson. The board issue is very similar. But now that's a sub-theme of the appointment process. There's another sub-theme under the appointment of the board, and that is trade union representatives, in which there's one suggestion is in the private members bill, only one person. Kusatu is critical of that, saying that that's not representative enough. The committee bill has 2-3. Kusatu supports that. Fedusa is a little bit concerned on that point, saying that there's an issue of majoritarianism there. Is it the major, biggest trade unions in the public service central bargaining council that will decide that, or is it the trade unions with the most members that belongs to the GEPF, which is the biggest contributor to as a depositor to the PIC? So there's a bit of a dispute there about exactly if it is 2-3. Trade union representatives who will be there, and then a valuable comment from the comments that was received from the members during that submission was, what about the pensioners? Because there's no provision really for pensioners who will be affected by certain decisions of the PIC, and that may be what the committee should look at, because if it is a defined benefit, then it doesn't really matter for pensioners how the money is invested. But that suggestion came from producer to say we should put a pensioner as one of the trade union representatives as well. Sure, that was the theme of the appointment of the board. Then a sub-theme there, but just because it's in the same section in the Act, is that the minister may issue directives for the management of the PIC. And that seems to create a little bit of a stir as well, Chairperson. Kusatu is in favor of that because of the being in favor also of the indicators. Because, okay, let me first say this just to create the background. The minister can issue directives for the management of the PIC if it's in the public interest, and then the committee will suggest that we also look at those five issues that were the indicators of how to reach your objectives, in other words, how to manage the assets. COSATU is in favor of that. It fits into their constituency. FDUSA, for the same reason as that they didn't like the indicators at first, is also not in favor of this. Amabungane was in favor of this, and National Treasury is saying, but this is a management issue. It doesn't deal with giving effect to your investment policy, so it shouldn't be there. Getting back, Chair, to the issue of transparency. Well, transparency in the appointment process is also there if one considers how the appointments are made, but the reporting on investments is then another theme, Chair, that touches on the transparency issue. COSATU is in favor of the committee bill. I think there's a lot of congruence between the committee bill and the private members bill in this regard. FDUSA as well, although they indicate it should be consent with the depositors before this information is disclosed. National Treasury is of the view that only unlisted shares should be disclosed. If anything is disclosed, and that should also be on consent of the depositors. And Amabungane thinks the bill doesn't go far enough. It should go further to list all the investments, listed and unlisted. Chair, if we go further to the reporting on this investment, or I think I just dealt with that. I think, Chair, the next theme would be to deal with the investments on behalf of the depositors, that the investments must, in fact, benefit your depository and the reporting on it. Both FDUSA and Amabungane was in favor of that. The issue of transitional arrangements, FDUSA is the only one who commented on it and saying that it's not clear enough, it's not detailed enough exactly what is meant by the transitional arrangements. And when it comes to the regulation-making process, both Amabungane and COSATU is in favor of this more open and transparent process. And in fact, I think there were comments as well, Chair, that said we should also get specific input from major depositors in that regard. Chair, that's in brief the summary of that table. You're welcome.
Discussing the clauses, we just want to firstly identify, are there any issues that members feel that are thematic that are not there? The first one we've decided on today, you've got to add to it, is taking into account vigorous and rigorous oversight while bearing in mind market sensitivity. Okay? So that's the next theme. The committee is proposing that based on our experiences over the last year. Okay. Are there any other thematic issues? No. Is anybody wanting to comment on the broader themes? Is that an adequate reflection of what's there? Okay. Sorry? Yeah. Okay. Then from PIC, first of all, have you got anything you want to say that's missing there? PIC, do you have anything you think that's missing? Okay. Can I raise one or two quick issues and then we're done, actually, I think. And I know members are getting, I can sense by the body vibes here that people want to rush out of here. Not that I don't want to either, but I am stuck here because that's my job. So on the FDUSA loans, a decision... Sorry? No, I would also like to run out of the meeting, but I've got no choice. You can walk out. I have to stick here. We'll be finished in a few minutes. Now, the FDUSA story,
The loans, the housing loans are already being implemented, right? Now, it's being proposed by Fedusa in cahoots with Treasury, right, that this should be dealt with in the Pensions Fund Act and the GEPF. Can Treasury, since they're not here, can you explain why you say that quickly? Why can't it be done? They're doing it anyway.
The same thing is that the instruction on doing this should come from the GPF to the PIC, so it's an investment mandate issue.
As opposed to the policy.
Yeah,
no. It's a point that Floyd has made, by the way, and I spoke to Abel Sitole this morning on the way here, that colleagues, we should really be looking at the GEPF as well, the Act or whatever, or the policies or regulations within which it functions. Because some of the things really that we want, it should really be located to the GEPF. Think about that. It's a policy issue. So another policy issue that I don't think we can decide now, Frank, excuse me, where is the best vehicle, which is the best way of getting what the committee wants? Should it be amendments to the PIC bill, the GEPF bill, or the Pensions Fund Act, or whatever? So can you look into that, right? Because I think we need to also review, notice review, not revise. Review means look at, to explain to people, to be fair, to look at, to see whether there's a need for revisions or not. You may review something and say, no, there's no need for it. So basically what I'm saying is, shouldn't we also do what Floyd did raise at the outset, look at the GEPF? So Frank, you've got plenty of weeks, right? We need to look at that. So I'm coming to you, Floyd. The King position, doesn't it apply to the private sector? Does it apply to the public sector? Okay. The question then is, you see, unlike SOEs, right? Here, I suppose it applies to SOEs too, eh? If they go down the drain, the fiscus has to come to their rescue. Except it's not legally necessary in an SOE, because a government can say, look, you've gone down, we don't have the money. So we're not going to come to your rescue. Go to the markets to raise the funds, right? You can say that to an SOE. Isn't the distinct difference here, Frank? This year, there's no choice. It's a defined pension benefit. Therefore, the government can't say to the GEPF and PIC, hey, guys, you caused the mess, sort it out. Am I not right that this is a specific case? And I wonder if the King report even considered a situation like this, of the government having to come to the rescue because it's a defined pension fund. Therefore, maybe the need for an independent chairperson doesn't apply here. The DM must chair, or the minister must chair. We can sort that out. It's a minor issue. Frank?
Chair, I'm not sure if someone made that submission to the King Commission for the latest report, but the whole thing is about checks and balances when it comes to an independent chairperson. An independent chairperson acts as a balance and a check to the members or the non-independent board members. But when it comes to something like the PIC or the GPF, which is defined benefit, King makes no distinction. The King report makes no distinction there, Chairperson. So it would say you still have your audit committee to deal with any lapses, to put out the red flags, so to speak, and you have Parliament to put out the red flags. But as far as I know, Chair, there's no political party or political person that made submissions to the King report to say, but what in the case of specific public finances in this regard? So he makes no distinction. Well, the committee, the King committee, made no distinction.
In my view, that it's a distinct thing, the PIC as against the normal SOE. Yes, Mr. Shivambo.
No, thanks, Chair. You know, the issue which cannot be avoided about the GPF is that the GPF law, the GEP law, is not enacted by Parliament. It was a proclamation in 1996 by President Mandela then. So it's not an act of Parliament. I think that it necessarily should be enacted by Parliament. I think that is one issue that we should deal with. It gets complex now because GPF is relatively autonomous from the state. It's money of workers, its own trustees and everything else there. And then we legislate how workers' money must be expended. ourselves here in the PIC Act that this is what you must spend the money on. We can. What then becomes the role of the GPF, which owns the money? It's one of the things that must be looked into. So we should look at the GPF law. We should enact the GPF law. And maybe part of the things that we could do there is to legislate that a certain percentage of GPF should be managed by the PIC, because now it is not compulsory for the GPF to give all its assets to the PIC. So the trustees can take a decision that they're going to appoint Coronation or Investec asset managers or Old Mutual asset managers, whoever. Because it's not guaranteed that the PIC will perform like above index like it has been doing now. What if we make some technical mistakes in the future and then we've got incompetent leadership and then it doesn't perform well? The trustees can say, no, we are withdrawing our assets and give to all other asset managers, evenly spread. So that 2 trillion can be shrunk to far much lesser than it is now in terms of... So we might need to look into the GP law as well, so that we align these things properly. I actually am considering, Chair, that we shouldn't rush ahead of ourselves. Let us not just rush. I know it's a private member's bill plus committee bill and everything else. Let us manage it in a way which at the end of the day we come with a proper workable legal framework that will be durable and will be able to insulate workers' money, but also provide for transparency and effective management of assets in the manner in which it's supposed to be.
All right, we've got a few minutes left. Can I suggest, Andy and others, that the ANC applies its mind to this, right? Let's consult. We've got plenty of time. But in principle, what we should consider is converting the proclamation into a law. Firstly, I think that's a reasonable thing. I'm not taking any decisions. I'm asking the ANC, led by its chief whip, to apply its mind to that. That seems to me reasonable. Let the ANC come with a position on it, firstly. Secondly, the suggestion that we shouldn't rush into this bill if it means addressing some issues in the GEPF. That, too, is something that seems to me reasonable, and the ANC needs to apply its mind to that. There's no position on that, right? But thirdly, I do think very strongly, given the mood and the anger amongst workers, and given that the term's going to come to an end and we don't know who's going to be here, and Parliament has this horrible tendency, not even you were the chief whip, you didn't leave a legacy, that we come back to issues. And if you have 5 different people here from the ANC, they'll start the process again. And you know, your legacy, if you had done something about it, they'll start again the whole process and go in the opposite direction. So it would be preferable to finish this bill before April next year. If it means even putting in our report the elements of a bill we want in the GEPF, I think seriously we should pass this bill. In any case, there's nothing to hide. I would imagine COSATU being COSATU would use this as leverage, right? We are not going to vote for you. You've been through this, Nati. That's your COSATU as well, right? We are not going to vote for you because you didn't pass the PIC bill. You know, Matthew sends me this, these internal emails, right, where he'll say things like, you're doing your job, Matthew. He may come across as me. He says, this is the most important bill for the working class of this country, Comrade Yunus. So the next day, he will say something like, yeah, the VAT could bring down, crush this alliance, and so on. So to calm him down, nobody's agreed to leave this bill to the next 5-year term. We will seek to finish it. Notice my words, seek to finish before the end of this term. I know when you want it, I think we'll get it. In fact, my own view is by November we could do what Floyd is saying, much of it, and ourselves. Remember in the report to this PIC bill, we say there are 5 or 6 issues we want to include in that thing. Very quickly now, before we part, in 1 minute, how do you convert, why was it a proclamation, not a bill? Yeah, Impi, can you explain? Just as we know.
Chairperson, under the interim constitution of 1993, there was a power for the president to pass certain laws that was necessary quite quickly before independence. Now, the two examples I know of is the Public Service Act, and the other one is the GPF law. Now, both of these acts have been amended by Parliament since. Yes. And the Public Service Act considerably, GPF law to a lesser extent, but we have these amendments. Yes, it's called the law, which
okay.
I think it's...
In that case, can we distribute the law, Alan, in the next 2 days? Yes, but,
perhaps what we might need to do is to get a detailed legal advice on what is the status of the proclamations that did not go through parliamentary process. So
no,
the interim constitution... The interim constitution allowed a president to proclaim legislation without having gone through a parliamentary process. When the constitution that we operate under now was enacted, those proclamations were not formally moved into the new constitutional dispensation. I think that is one of the things that we must have to look into, and then we work on that basis to check if we don't need to convert that into proper law. Because I don't think that it's law. Even if it's law, it has to be adjusted to the new constitution.
Okay, fine. We'll look at the legal status of that. You can refer your other issues to the Justice Committee. We all agree that an individual president shouldn't have the power. There are specific circumstances. We agree. Now, the only issue on which we will need a lot of discussion, although I would imagine the ANC will probably not have one position on this, is the other thing you mentioned. Can members think about this, right? Which is, shouldn't make it compulsory for the GEPF to invest in the PIC. It comes back to this point. If something goes wrong, either in the GEPF or PIC, who's going to come to the rescue, if not the fiscus? So you can imagine my personal view, but I have no mandate. I think that's a matter that should be discussed. Floyd, what's the point? We have no mandate.
Actually, the fact that the GEPF is guaranteed by the state is reason enough to say that it must be invested through the PIC, which the state oversees.
Well, you know what my position is. I mean, what's the problem? I can't. I have no mandate, right? The ANC standee is a boss there of the ANC. Okay? Right. So the clerk will present his point of view to the boss there. Well, don't say it now because somebody might want to chop our heads off. Ah! You're making policy on the hoof when a meeting is pending at the end of July. Everybody gets ready. All these issues. Hey, there's nothing to hide here. It's simple. The government doesn't go to elections. The ANC goes to elections. The ANC won the election, not the government. And we are answerable to the ANC, and they provide the policy framework. So yes, we're going to meet them. We're not sycophants. We're going to do all the documentation, guess who, and then we go there and we argue with them. So this view, by the way, Marian, that some of the people have in the media, that we little sycophants of the ANC in Lutuli House, hell, man, please. Tutandi and I look like sycophants. Maybe Nati does, but Tutandi. Nati, the advantage of being a chair is you can have swipes and everybody irritates you. Obviously, I wasn't serious about Nati, but can you imagine Tandi and me being little sycophants at my age? Can you imagine? The people in the structures are half my age, by the way, right? So, I mean, really. No, we present our point of view, Marian. I'm not saying you've said that, Linda. We present up, and sometimes we win, sometimes we lose. Most times, actually, we win. When they listen to us, they say, no, you're making sense, comrades. So we are going to get policies on all these issues before we come back in August, Nati. This is a whole day thing. I must give you the date shortly. Thank you very much, everybody. Thank you in particular to the PIC for spending this all time. Tomorrow, as agreed, we're not going to discuss PIC. So, because we substituted it for the carbon tax bill. Now, before people get angry with me, Tandi in particular, I am a helpless victim, and so is Alan, of what happens. So, we asked the SAA to come tomorrow. SAA explained there are the International Airline Association, IATA. So, Jahana is there, and so is the... So he said, please, I'll be on my way back. So I said, can you do the 7th? He said, yes. Then, any complaints about the carbon tax bill, there's Philly Mapulani. I can give you a cell number. Go and complain with him. We put it down for tomorrow, and now they've got something else on. So people who are taking flights,
please stay till 5, because that carbon tax bill is utterly crucial. And we have to be understanding it, not it's new for you and Peggy, right? It's a complex bill. So please, don't book your flights before 5. You won't die if you leave on Friday morning. Anybody who thinks they'll be dying, can they consult with me about this, right? So please, the advantage you have, comrades, is next week we are not sitting. Because, can I remind you why? A, the carbon tax bill, Treasury, whoever is here from Treasury needs to explain. You went to report back on that process. B, on the VAT bill, as I call it, we have to wait till the end of July. C, the PIC bills, we have to wait for the 30-day thing. D, is that for the next four, effectively we were 2.5 to 3 months of sitting days, if that. We have to focus on the bills. So we don't dump the new generation, so to speak, with bills that, you know, are stuck with us, and we understand these issues because we've been here for 4.5 years, some of us. Okay, thank you all. Good night. Thank you.